justice I've tried to do. The key thing, though, as I have come to understand contextual theology and have reflected on it through the years, is the centrality of experience. It is the honoring or testing or critiquing of experience that makes contextual theology contextual theology. What this means is that for contextual theology, anything can be a source of theology. An experience of a sunrise in the Lake District, a particular film like The Boy in the Striped Pajamas or Gran Torino, a national event like the current scandals in Parliament, values in one's culture, one's experience as male or female, one's experience as a marginal person in one's culture, one's encounter with another religion, the experience of multicultural tensions in one's society, the challenge of technology today. When we recognize that scripture and tradition are records of experience, the experience of liberation from oppressor Egypt, or of deliverance from starvation in the desert, or the disappointment with kings, or the encounter with Jesus of Nazareth, or Paul's struggles to persuade communities not to insist on Jewish traditions, on Arius' insistence on Jesus' creaturehood, or a controversy over Eucharistic presence or justification, we'll recognize that doing contextual theology is doing exactly what the authors of Scripture and the makers of tradition did. While there is no questioning the normativity of these sources of theology, we have to realize that when they were doing theology that resulted in a particular book of Scripture or a particular doctrinal expression, the only thing they had was their present experience in their particular context. And the norming texts, doctrines, personages, and art of their own past. In that way, we are just like them, like the compiler of the prophecies of Isaiah, like Paul, like Athanasius, like Hildegard, like Luther or Wesley, like Henry Martin, John V. Taylor, or Dorothy Day. This is why I strongly believe that even though scripture and tradition are our great sources for theology, as well as our norms for theology's fidelity to the gospel, our present experience, our context, needs to be regarded as equal to them both. Our experience today of being a minority of Christians in our once Christian culture, of the fear of terrorism in the wake of subway bombings, our discussions of British presence in Afghanistan, and the need for interreligious dialogue in a society suddenly no longer totally Christian, can and will be the tradition of tomorrow. For me, then, contextual theology is a theology of rich and challenging dialogue. Dialogue that tries to articulate my context, my experience, dialogue of this experience with the experience of Christians down through the ages that we find in Scripture and Christian tradition. Now, this then brings me to my third part, which is what has contextual theology to offer the church of the 21st century? I hope that as we have sketched out the shape of our church today and the future, and as we have reviewed our understanding of contextual theologizing, it has become clearer what contextual theology has to offer to today's church. A theology that honors the experience of context will be one that is not tied to Western ways, themes, and methods of theology. This may be very good for the West, but for the churches of Africa, Asia, Latin America, Oceania, and the churches of particular ethnic groups within the Church of the West, Indians, Caribbeans, Aboriginals, Maori, African American, Latino, etc. Theology should only be done from local experience and local context. The non-Western churches can also contribute to the global church by showing the whole church what it is, not a Western religion, but one that has been and is again a non-Western religion. In churches which are in minority status within secular or non-Christian minorities, their context might very well impel them to do theology. On the one hand, that emphasizes the uniqueness and difference of their Christian faith, and on the other hand, that helps Christians give an account of the hope that is within them in the face of indifference, opposition, or even persecution. Several times in my stay here in Britain, I've encountered the idea that what is needed today is a new apologetics. Such a new apologetics may not be unlike that of the early apologists in the church, and the experiences of Justin or Origen may well be important sources for these new efforts. Multicultural churches need to explore this unique, challenging experience. There needs to be a dialogue between and among cultures, ethnic identities, and social locations. In many churches, not only must a theology be done that engages the young, but young people need to be trained and cultivated as theologians. One of the great contributions of contextual theology is its insistence that theology is not something confined to highly trained academics. Indeed, as I point out in my book on models of contextual theology, contextualization is too important to be left to the trained theologians. Theology is the birthright of the entire church, and this includes the world's youth. The poverty and vulnerability of the church is also an experience that might very well take the 21st century church back to its origins, when it was a struggling minority religion in the vast and powerful Roman and Persian empires. A theology that is done out of poverty and vulnerability will be able to inspire and uphold the church as it did in those formative times. These are some of the contributions that a theology that takes experience seriously, a contextual theology, can make to our global, minority status, multicultural, young, persecuted, and poor church of the 21st century. It takes these situations seriously and does theology out of them. I think, though, that we might summarize what contextual theology has to offer our church today and tomorrow in four additional points. Contextual theology offers the church a new agenda for its theologizing. It offers new methods. It offers new voices. And it offers a new dialogue. And let me speak briefly about each one of these offerings. So first of all, a new agenda. Contextual theology offers the church of the 21st century a new agenda. The church of the New Testament did not have the same agenda as the post-Constantinian church, or the 3rd century East Syrian church, or the medieval church, the Reformation church, or the 16th century Chinese church. The church of the New Testament, for example, did not have a proper Christological agenda, as it emerged as the church had to think through its understanding of Jesus in the light of its encounter with Greek thought. The church of the 4th century did not have a proper Eucharistic theology as it emerged in Northern Europe as the more symbolic worldview clashed with the more concrete worldview of the Germanic tribes. Context not only shapes the content and method of our theologizing, it determines the questions we ask and highlights the things we see as important. Up until our own time, with a more universal theology that was studied in Basel and Brisbane, at Cambridge and at Trinity in Singapore, in Chicago and Nairobi, there has been a basic shape to the theological enterprise. Catholics call these the basic theological tracts. Others call them the basic loci: God and Trinity, creation, anthropology, grace, sin, Christology, church, eschatology. In today's global minority status, multicultural, vulnerable church, however, other issues may well emerge and already have. A major issue that has emerged is ecology, and in many ways it has reshaped the theology of creation. The basic tenets of classical theological anthropology have been challenged, on the one hand, by Darwin's theory of evolution, and on the other, by theologians insisting on animal rights. Groups such as Aboriginals in Australia, Maori in New Zealand, and Native Americans have emphasized the importance of a theological reflection on space and land. Asian theologians have proposed a theology of harmony. Latin Americans have insisted that no theology can be worthy of the name without the centrality of the experience of the poor and God's promise of liberation. Latinos in the United States and several other groups have begun to theologize around the experience of migration. These issues certainly do interact with the more traditional topics such as Christology, grace, and so on, but they are new questions and will develop not only new answers, but also new ways of understanding the classic questions of God, of church, of creation, and of the final end of the world. This is part of what contextual theology has to offer the church of the 21st century. Contextual theology offers the church of the 21st century a new method. My book, Models of Contextual Theology, gives an overview of some of the new ways that a theology that takes experience seriously can proceed, more cautiously by a method of translating traditional formulations into particular languages, cultures, situations, taking more risk by trusting the context to guide new ways of thinking about the faith, letting action take the lead to forge new and deeper understandings of God's transforming grace in the world, trusting the gospel story to challenge and critique an experience or a context. Other theologians, either in response to my book or independently, have proposed other models and methods. Theologians such as James and Evelyn Whitehead, Don Browning, Thomas Groom, Neil Dara, Elaine Graham, and Pete Ward have proposed models of practical theology that also propose in various ways a dialogue between tradition and context for transformative action. The Lumko Institute in Johannesburg, South Africa, has proposed a method of Bible sharing that helps people read the Bible out of their daily experience. But contextual theology has also opened up the notion to theology as something wider than verbal discourse. It can be the productions or interpretations of local artists, poets, novelists, playwrights, painters, and sculptors. It can be the skilled use of proverbs. It can be doing or reflecting upon dance or liturgy or music. 2 years ago, at the annual meeting of the American Society of Missiology, I was enthralled by a presentation on the theology of the hymnody of the people of a very small tribe in the Cameroon. Recently, I have been touched in a way no discursive Christology could do by the Jesus Laughing exhibit on the internet, sponsored by Australia's Major Issues and Theology Foundation. During this past Holy Week, I was awed by the paintings on the church walls of Santa Teresa, a small Aboriginal town south of Alice Springs in Australia's Northern Territories. This is an example of what I'm talking about. The paintings were done by a number of local Aboriginal women, none of whom had any special training in theology or art. Contextual theology can offer to the 21st century church new and creative methods for probing experience in the light of faith. Talk now about new voices. There have been strong, clear, beautiful voices in the past. Perpetua, Bardison, Alopen, Julian, Aquinas, Luther, Sor Juana, Bart, Dorothy Sayers, C.S. Lewis, Dorothy Day. Theology that comes out of a world church, a minority church, a multicultural church, a poor church, can open our ears to new voices, some right in our own back gardens, as it were, and others from contexts very different than our own. Several months ago, on a visit to the Philippines, my friend Jose de Mesa introduced me to a former doctoral student of his, Estela Padilla. As we talked, I realized that she was one of the freshest voices in theology that I had heard in a long time. Her new voice needs to be listened to in the Philippines and in other churches of our 21st century. My own U.S. church needs to listen to older voices like Roberto Goizueta, Orlando Espin, Diana Hayes, and Peter Phan, and to younger voices like Miguel Diaz, Nancy Pineda Madrid, Vanessa White, and Jonathan Tan. The Australian church needs to listen to its indigenous theologians, its young theologians from the Pacific and from Asia. Who are the voices in Britain that you need to listen to? I haven't been here in the country long enough to know, but you might. I could go on naming names, but I think my point is clear. The voices of contextual theologians are one more gift that contextual theology has to offer the church of the 21st century. And finally, a new dialogue. Lately, I have encountered a real problem with doing contextual theology. And this problem prompts me to suggest that we can take the doing of contextual theology one step forward. The problem with contextual theology, as I express it often these days, is that it's contextual. What I mean by this is that contextual theology can be so rooted in its own context that it can no longer communicate or talk with the theology of other peoples or other churches. I mentioned above that I have recently met Filipina theologian Estela Padilla and thought hers was one of the freshest voices in theology that I've ever heard. The problem, though, is that only Filipinos can read Estela's work because she insists in writing in Tagalog. Any other language, she said, could not capture the full reality of what she wants to say. My sense is, however, that Estela's work needs to get out to other people around the globe. Her thought will not be fully translatable, of course, but I think that she can enrich and challenge other contextual theologians to do some of the creative thinking she has done. And I believe responses to her could deepen her own efforts at developing a theology of the body and a theology of ministry out of that theology in Philippine context. Another example might come from Indonesia, but I don't know, since I don't know Indonesian. What I do know is that some parts of the country, especially the island of Flores, is overwhelmingly Catholic Christian. In my own religious congregation, numbering about 6,000 members, fully 1,200 of us are Indonesians. And in the past several years, we have sent probably over 100 Indonesians to do graduate theological study. What are they writing? What are they thinking? What are their challenges? If they only write in Indonesian, I and the rest of the church will never know. What I propose, therefore, is that we need a wider dialogue among contextual theologians. Besides specific, focused contextual theologies, we need a theology that is done out of the dialogue among contextual theologies, a theology in global perspective. The reason for this is that besides our own particular context, there is another context for doing theology in the church of the 21st century, and that is the global context. I think that integral to the development of our own contextual theologies is the need to enter into conversation with other contextual theologians and theologies. The dialogue will deepen our own insights, perhaps, as we see similarities between our own theology and that of a very different culture or social location. Or perhaps our understandings will be challenged by the insights that another context can provide. Or perhaps in the conversation, both contextual theologies will be stretched and enriched. I have begun to speak of the need to read other theologies analogously, to realize that there might be a similarity in difference between the theology of my own context and that of others, one that can enlighten, stretch, challenge, and inspire my own efforts. My Filipino friend Jose de Mesa speaks of the need for intra-traditionality in theology, whereby one comes to a deeper understanding and articulation of one's own tradition in a conversation with other traditions. As I say, I see this as a next step for contextual theology. It is one that still honors one's own context and experience, but seeks a dialogue with others for the sake